Why did you say that? Any particular reason?
No reason at all, Baka.
Okay. I didn't want to say it. It's not like I said it for you or anything.
That's right. Baka.
Okay.
What tea is this?
Spice green.
What was that?
Oh, we're recording? I thought you were still editing the audio stuff.
We're almost always recording, but yes, now we're recording for real. Not the incredibly racist things that we say off recording.
What? No.
No.
No. Welcome to Dragon's Flow TeaCast.
Where we're not racists.
Well, we're nice businessmen. This is how I get in trouble. I am the Eastern European tea man. We got the Irish tea fellow.
I'm Irish, apparently.
And we got the filthy mixed breed of the tea guy.
Honey badger.
Yep. Which one of the houses has the most filthy mudbloods?
I'd say Hufflepuff.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, Gryffindor is a good spot for him. I mean, think of the mud...
You know, it's just not
mudbloods. Think of the mixed bloods that we know.
Hashtag not Slytherin.
Yeah, well, there's Lily, there's Hermione, Neville, Harry.
Well, the problem is that we know the most about Gryffindor.
Yeah, I mean, besides Snape, we don't know that many pure...
Well, he's half.
Yeah, so he's mixed. So... I think they can go anywhere, but it seems like they...
Umbridge is... she's half, right?
She's in denial.
She's closeted.
Yeah, so the...
Closeted Muggleborn. Yeah, she's...
So, I mean...
Wait, wasn't Umbridge a Hufflepuff?
No.
No.
What was she?
Homeschooled. Evil.
She was something.
Yeah, she was.
I want to know which house to hit.
I would be shocked if she was not a Slytherin.
I would too.
Because she's not particularly brave. She hides behind rules and, you know, kind of kisses up to whoever's in charge.
And she uses rules to her benefit. Like, she uses, like, lawyer loophole speak.
Wouldn't that be more Ravenclaw-ish?
No, because they're... See her as Ravenclaw. She's not smart. She's an idiot.
She is...
She's
a teacher, so you're right.
Yeah, but she's a bad teacher, so... Like, she uses a book for, like, one-year-olds about, like, oh, you're being attacked? Call the police.
Oh, my gosh. And also, why would you need protection spells when you have the ministry?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then her detention is, here, write with this torture pen.
Yep, Slytherin.
Yeah.
Like, did we really need to look that up?
One of us did.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure she's
did.
The Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff.
Oh, it was It was the one of us who didn't read the books or watch the movies.
I've read the books. And I've seen most
of
the
did?
Movies. Yeah.
What's wrong with your memory?
I don't know. I read them once. That's...
Oh, okay.
Mr. Oh, look at me. I read them once every other week.
Oh, that was true at a point. There was one point where it was at a continuum. Well, I'm finished. Time to pick up the first one.
And I'm pretty sure I've actually seen all the movies, because John over here has made me watch them.
Yeah, we went to go see
them. I think we went to all of them in theaters, actually. Yeah. Well, actually, you watched them with me, I think, from 4 on.
That sounds
about right.
Pretty
sure.
So 4 was the one where it started to depart from the books.
Yeah. There were things that were just missing in 3.
Oh, we're talking about Harry Potter, by the way.
Yes.
10 points to Gryffindor.
10 points to Dumbledore.
And so right now we are drinking Slytherin Potion, which is going to be one of the teas we're going to show off at the Houston Tea Fest coming up in, what is it now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Two.
Is
that serious?
Jesus
Christ. Well, two Sundays from now, or two weekends from now.
I still got a bunch of crap to do. Fuck. Yeah, it's getting along quite well. Lots of teabagging.
Ha.
In the literal sense, not the video game sense.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
No, the video game thing.
Oh.
You're fine.
It's also fun.
I wouldn't know.
Crouch, stand up. Crouch, stand up. Crouch, stand up.
So, I've had this tea plenty of times before. Mm-hmm. How about you guys?
We've had this on air before when it was in
we tested this
beta.
Under a different name. Yeah, every time I have this, I'm really confused. I really enjoy this tea. Like, this one was the one I was least excited about trying in the beta. And, everything about it's pleasant. First of all, being a green tea brewed at a lower temperature, so it's easier to drink right away. This is just blended so perfectly. There's the very mild astringency of what green tea is used actually in this. I'm having trouble.
I'm not sure.
Let's see if I can figure it out.
But it's not the astringency to it is there at the end, but the spices take over. It's warming. It's really, really nice.
Yeah, I usually don't like spiced teas, but this is good. Probably because I don't really like black teas, and it's almost always black tea. So, I like this. I was having some the other day while I was writing those cards that you can only get, probably, I'm assuming, if you go to the Houston Tea Fest.
Mm-hmm.
It just says it's from China, but it's not specify not even what province it's from. So, it's a mystery.
Yeah, we get those a lot, huh?
Mm-hmm. I could find out the details if I email them, but it's too much work.
Yeah, it's so weird. Sometimes they don't even have the list of ingredients for the flavored teas.
Yeah, you just have to look around a little bit. It's somewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense that it's a Chinese green tea. If I were to... I would have guessed not Japanese green tea, because the Japanese green teas, to me, usually have more of that astringency from their... I think it's like their pan-searing process or whatever it is. Those come off darker to me with a little bit more astringency.
What do you mean by astringency?
The kind of... well, first of all, the mouthfeel, but also the slight bitterness that comes along with it.
Okay.
So since it's dark... So, like, black teas are very astringent.
Oh.
How would you describe astringency?
I like turtles.
You like turtles. Well said. grappling with the texture and flavor that is astringency. So maybe that's something we can do on air one of these times, is have a grouping of teas, start off with the really light ones with almost no astringency, mid-astringency, and then a real astringent tea. It's something that you taste and you feel out.
Let's see if that wood is in my giant tea wheel.
In general, the more astringent teas come off as like a dry mouthfeel to me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So like I'm thinking like Japanese sencha, that has a real dry bite at the end of it with that real strong
vegetal. Or
a
lot of dark oolongs.
Yes.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yes. And so as I was saying, this one... Chinese black teas are lighter too than like a lot of the Indian black teas, like the
well,
states.
Those are super dark.
Yeah. And so Chinese green teas to me,
I can't drink that. It's just like, no, thank you.
Chinese green.
Oh, this is a sample. Yeah. Shouldn't have sampled that.
Should have sampled that. I should not have sampled that. But the Chinese greens usually have less astringency to me, so it makes sense.
Right. So we have a lot of things to cover today. I don't know how much we're going to even be able to get to. Nikolai, do you want to start us off, or do you want me to start us off?
Well, you could go ahead.
All right. So some of you might have noticed that I made a certain post earlier this week about a certain YouTuber named... I always forget. Logan Paul. Okay. I didn't really care in the beginning about the Japanese Suicide Force thing, and I still more or less don't, because who here has seen a dead body? You never really expect to react the way you usually do. Your mind finds ways to, distance itself. And even for someone as stupid as that, maybe that's what he was doing, I don't know. I'd rather just focus on all the bullshit he was doing before that. I'm going to reiterate what my point was back then, so people don't think I was just speaking out of emotion. If you, if I sniff out any type of Logan Paul in you, I'm kicking you the hell out of my store. I'm not even going to give you a second chance.
You because, reek of Logan.
Yes. Because if you are that level of stupid and toxic, you will infect everything around me. And I'd rather keep my tea place not that bad. Like, there's no way you don't know what you're doing.
So, I'm sure everyone knows about the Suicide Forest thing that happened. But what were the other videos that he took in his little detour to Japan?
So he did things like he bought a fish and a squid and was like slapping people with it and like slamming it against windows. And by the end, he just left it on top of a taxi when he was done with it. Like,
and then the taxi drove off.
Yeah. He bought like a big stuffed Pokeball thing and was like throwing it at people. Dressed up as...
And moving vehicles.
And moving vehicles. There was people driving trucks and whatnot. He jumped on, like, the back of them. Just, like, really douchey, disrespectful stuff. The thing that pissed me off the most is he was at a temple, and he was just being an obnoxious piece of shit, and he was just, like, throwing coins. You know, you should be, like, you just kind of toss them underhanded. He just, like, grabbed a handful and just, like, tossed them, made a bunch of noise, which was like screaming and yelling. The cops had to show up to like basically kick him out because he was being so disrespectful. And he was pulling
nice. Except kind of, like, they were Japanese cops, so they were like, please leave now.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh no, no thanks.
Just,
you know, it's interesting the time this comes out. Earlier this week, before all this, there was this really I thought it was a pretty well written article about how one of the cool things about Japan is that their culture is such that you don't be Logan Paul.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not even implied. It's taught at a young age. So as a result of this, people leave like their bikes and mopeds just unlocked out on the street and they're fine.
Yeah, I heard that.
My cousin lived in Japan for 2 years because he was working over there. And when my aunt and uncle came to visit him, they both recalled this. There was a little girl, probably second grade or younger. She boarded the train by herself, rode across, basically across the country, because it's not, you know, it's an island, and got off at her stop, and that was that. And, you know, they're like, is that okay? You know, she was on the train for like half an hour by herself. And he's like, yeah, nobody's going to touch her. You know, like, and that's like not uncommon over there. Like, I've seen it in anime, but it actually happened. And
I haven't seen that in anime. That's actually kind of...
Yeah, like, you see kids riding the school. Like, the kids also look like adults, but then you realize they're third graders. But anyway, you know, that happens, and that's what they do, and that's the culture. And, you know, sometimes, like, the amount of times things happen, it's a big deal, as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But it generally doesn't, because they don't, you know,
Their version of cops is just like, hi, we're the police. Are you drunk? We'll take you home.
Like, they're one step away from actually being fashion police.
You know, like,
your weird clothes are making people uncomfortable. You're going to have to change.
Like, if somebody steals a pair of underwear from, like, the hangers outside, they sound like a squad.
Yeah.
And they have, like, a whole task force behind it because they have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Logan Paul just represents everything bad.
CSI. Panties.
Yes. And so, obviously, if you have not been able to tell at the beginning of this, like, yeah, this is the not racist show. So, it's obvious that we'd have no problem, like, just being silly at times. But there's a difference between being silly and being a disrespectful piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a few deviations past that line.
Well,
standard deviations.
He's like, obnoxious. It's not funny. It's just like, how can I be annoying?
Mm-hmm. So if any of you think you can come in with like a giant Pokeball toy and start throwing it around in my shop, that's not going to happen. We're going to have fun. We're going to be watching silly anime, and hopefully old people won't walk in during the ecchi scenes. But
that's when they're going to. You know.
It's like a magnet.
Yeah. Especially if they're parents. They're like honed into that.
Oh, a little cartoon tea shop. Let's drag little Susie in there. Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, they're watching something about a hamster in a... Oh.
Hamtaro?
No.
The other hamster. Is there something that I don't know about Hamtaro?
The other hamster anime. The one that's the hamster for adults.
I do not want to know.
The one where he picks up
the
phone?
No, that's okay, that's okay. Oh.
It's like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Oh, the whole show was like that.
I vaguely know about that, but that's... I'm fine with being
vague.
It
could be the sweetest, most innocent anime ever. There is going to
There's
be etchy
be
scenes. And it would be... You could be like the whole time, like... What do you call it? What was the one that we watched last time with our slumber party at Missouri?
Surrey Children.
It could be just like, are they going to? And then finally, like the one scene where you have the cartoon characters even like kissing or doing something like that or imagining, that's when the parent walks in. It's just like, everything else is just them making high-pitched, you know, sounds and stuff, which is like understandable. But it'll be the one time that they like do something like, you know, they talk about, does she want to have sex with me? That is the moment. Parents are honed into those moments. There's an instinct.
And so, yeah, I was quite upset. And that's, I might even have a sign like that, like a picture of him. Like, if you so much as like this guy, feel free
just
to...
Just have a nope sign with his face in it.
Oh,
whoops.
I like that video.
In other news, Dragon Ball FighterZ, two pieces of news. Number one, the open beta is coming up really soon, and they announced the characters. You know, they've announced pretty much all of them, so nothing too new about that. I cannot see from here. Nick, list them out.
I'm working on it. I can't see it from here either. We got Nappa, Vegeta, Goku, Piccolo, Krillin, Cell.
18.
18.
Frieza. Beerus.
Beerus.
Kid Buu.
And
Ultimate Gohan.
So, yeah. Kind of standard lineup.
Actually, it's exciting because
too unusual.
Several characters which people have not got a chance to play yet, outside of like the special events. Yeah, Ultimate Gohan, Beerus, Kid Buu, Nappa 18? Has been there. There's been a few people who've played 18 so far. Oh. Nappa has been there, but. He has gotten the least amount of attention.
Nobody wants to play as Nappa.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. They could have played him, but they didn't because Nappa.
Nappa! And so we got that. And the other piece of news is the voice actor for Vegeta. Yeah,
I'm not sure if this qualifies as news.
Question. Yes, it does.
Huh? So if you have Vegeta and Nappa on the same team, uh-huh. and Nappa falls first, does Vegeta kill him?
We have not seen that yet.
They should.
But there will be dramatic scenes in...
I know, but it's like all like, you know, your character beat your opponent's character.
They should do that if it's Nappa and Vegeta left and Vegeta kills Nappa. That's when they should do that scene.
Oh, I see. Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah. But yes, this is the most important news we've ever covered. The voice actor for Vegeta has challenged the voice actor for Goku in... A Dragon Ball FighterZ match.
In a completely un-puppet-mastered thing.
Yes. This was not like a PR campaign. This was just them being them.
Yeah. That's completely natural.
Some little fun facts about these guys is they have become the characters they represent, kind of. They are really into it. They don't mind being like, oh, you're the voice actor of Vegeta. My name is Sean! They don't pull any of that. They are damn straight. I am Vegeta. And so, examples.
When you do it for 20 years, you kind of have to.
Yeah. One of them put up a text they had with each other. One of them asked, Vegeta asked Goku, hey, I'm on the 7th floor. Which one are you? Oh, the 8th. Damn it, Kakarot, you're one step ahead of me again. You know, they do stuff like that all the time. And it's fantastic. And so, they have now entered this challenge, and I'm really hoping Vegeta finally wins.
I'm rooting for Goku.
Of course you are. Nick?
I don't really care.
Of course you don't. Freaking Switzerland.
Hey. One of the Swiss lost a war.
You know what? All right. What else? Oh, we got a lot of stuff. What else we got?
I just opened a bunch of tabs, so that's why there's
yeah
a lot of stuff open. But
boom.
So, in more game news, so there was this study from the International Game Developers Association, and it found 81% of developers feel diversity in the workplace is important. But most of them don't believe the industry has been more diverse in the past 2 years.
Probably because it doesn't need to be.
Here's
the best way to sum up why all of this is just a load of crap. The current head developer for Dragon Ball FighterZ is female. How much of anything have you heard regarding her gender?
This is the first time I've heard it.
I heard it. I just heard it.
Right, good for you.
Stop talking about it.
Because she's done a good job, nobody cares. If you want diversity, get diversity of ideas, not genders. If they do a good job, no one cares. If they do a bad job, you can't hide behind, oh, I got a vagina. It's just not how this works.
Where's the statistic?
You're a statistic.
I am a statistic, I guess.
An average statistic.
I'm actually... very little Irish, apparently.
Yeah, you don't drink enough.
We're a dying breed.
Of course, now that I read it earlier, and I'm like...
Bulgarians are pure, though, man. Like, I don't know what it is. There's like six of you, and you just won't breed with anybody else.
You hate yourselves, but you hate everyone else more.
You never hear I have a little bit of Bulgarian in me.
Right, exactly.
Or Bulgarian saying, I'm Bulgarian plus something else. Nope. Because no one else will put up with us.
So in this survey, one-fifth of the people said the top priority in the game industry is they need more diversity. That's their biggest priority.
Yeah, to help with, good games.
You want to know what the second biggest priority was?
What's that?
Advancement in game design.
Oh, wow.
That's bad. That's bad because, why do you want diversity? Because you want advancement in game design, not vice versa.
No, right?
to their credit, there's a complex problem here. You do want diversity of thought, and you can sort of spur that to some degree by having different kinds of people with different experience there. But just because people have had different experience doesn't mean they've come to different conclusions. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't get there. And if you don't have that standard of, we want a better product, we want something that can sustain more people, we want something that's more engaging, some sort of metric, by having the means justify the ends? I don't even know what we're doing anymore.
That's the problem.
Right. I guess the ends justifying the means? I don't know. That's messed up,
Yeah, so also 40% of developers say they expect to be at their employer for 3 years or less. One-fifth don't know what's going on, and 27% of them have worked for 3 to 5 employers in the last 5 years. So they're just hopping from job to job, and the majority of them have spent less than 10 years in game development. So... this is like an industry of chaos.
And there's a lot of top games, which the reason why they're top is because people actually stick around and continue working on the same game.
Yeah, BioWare has had the same people for 20 years until just recently. Recently being like 2 or 3 years ago.
I say that's recent.
When you have a 20-year history...
that's impressive.
And it wasn't always BioWare. They used to be two different companies.
Bio and Ware?
Yeah. No, first it was Black Isle and then something else. I could be confusing them. No, that's Obsidian. I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. So it's just... when your employees are... not staying with you, they're not staying with you for a reason. It's just telling.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to fill these diversity quotas and people are leaving you. They're probably other companies are like, well, we'll pay you more because you're this demographic, and then they instantly jump ship. That is not a good business practice for anyone, because it means that suddenly that project that they were working on has a hole in it. It's like Swiss cheese.
When has the Swiss ever lost a battle?
With cheese. I hate Swiss cheese.
They're currently losing a battle. Anyway!
I'm at war!
And so it's just like, you know, you see those, like Assassin's Creed, for example, it's like, this was produced by a team of multicultural, diverse minds, and it's like, okay, well, I guess if you have to meet a quota, then yeah, that's inevitable. So, especially when, you know, the credits are like, you know, have the Hong Kong marketing team in them.
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't see this movie, but my dad just did. He just saw the Greatest Showman, the one about Barnum and Bailey,
mm-hmm.
right? And at the end of the credits, I still don't know why they did this, but they said they had something like, it was a high number, like 12,000 people. Like, that worked for the production of the movie. And it was just, like, let's say it was 1,200. Yeah. You know, it was just, they had the number at the bottom. And I'm like, oh, that's a pretty interesting thing. I was just reminded because you said, we have a multicultural and diverse going into this.
You want to know what happens when you keep hiring and firing people? Duke Nukem.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, I thought you meant the game itself.
Duke Nukem ever.
Yeah, forever.
No, I thought you meant, like, I meant what Duke Nukem as an actual person.
Oh, he comes and gets
chew
you.
Chew bubble gum and kick asses.
And I'm all out of employees.
And I'm all out of... I'm all out of unemployment checks.
I miss Duke Nukem. Make a good game of him again.
Just play the old ones. Speaking of bad decisions, gaming disorder is a disease, says the World Health Organization.
As you've probably read on your Facebook feed.
What do you think about the World Health Organization?
Oh, those are the people who also say cutting off a 3-year-old's penis is just fine? Yeah, I trust their opinion.
Ooh, that just made some people angry.
That just demonetized this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have not cared about the World Health Organization for over a decade at this point. It's one of those topics. You guys might be able to clarify. There are some issues I speak about for a very, very long time. And everyone thinks I'm dumb and crazy until it becomes mainstream. And it's like, oh, wow, T-Man, you were actually onto something. This is one of those things.
It is a minority of your points, to our credit. But it happens enough.
It happens enough.
God.
This is one.
We hate you being right.
Yes.
So do you, actually.
So do I.
Usually because it means something bad happened.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
Yeah.
And one of those things I'm waiting for everyone else to catch up on is realizing what kind of a giant, giant joke the World Health Organization and pretty much any health organization on the planet right now, including things like the,
pediatric...
The Pediatrics Association.
There's two of them. One's the normal one, and one is like a borderline cult.
Yeah. The one is just like, yeah, cut the penis off. The other one's just like, you know, let's wait until the kids are old enough to understand what transitioning is. Most of them don't know what the word means. There was a pediatrics... One of the associates said, you know, let's take it easy on the child transitioning thing, because that might be a little bit dangerous to pump full of hormones that early. I know we said we're going to get into...
As we now know, it's like, even if you think it's a good idea still and you want to do that, it doesn't work out too well if you want to have the full surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Can't generally do it.
But you know, as somebody, I mean, I spent a lot of time reading psychology, and it's almost impossible at this point if you haven't been reading, let's say, psychology for more than, I don't know, let's say at least 20 years, it's really tough to talk about, because, like, when let's say when the founders were doing their thing, you know, all mm-hmm. of them were they came through with these amazing breakthroughs of looking at an old concept. So, like, philosophy, older than psychology. A lot of them based things on old philosophies and, you know, brought it into the modern era with, like, metrics that you can use to measure outcomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible schools of thought, and then people followed them.
Yeah, philosophy is the father of all the sciences, including science.
Right. So you get closer and closer to modern day, and whenever there's a recession, numbers in especially community colleges, but in colleges in general, go up. And we have a flooded field. And so we have a ton of quote-unquote psychologists who are basically just followers. Like, they're not... Most of them are not pushing the advancements of the field. Mm-hmm. Most of them really don't know, honestly, what the people who founded it were talking about. Like, so you have some specialists that if you're really messed up, like if someone has a severe problem, they'll send you to a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to take away from most of those people. But most people just, like, read the DSM and, you know, like, they're basically human thermometers. They're little more than that. Yeah. Like, they can't really tackle the issues. So if you look at the video gaming, the way they describe the video gaming disorder, there are several other disorders that are from many volumes of the DSM before this that basically encapsulate this disorder. You just don't have explicit video game.
Yeah.
You know, there's an underlying syndrome that is very obvious. And if you're looking at somebody who is, you know, addicted, you know, to something, it's basically the same thing. They're addicted to the dopamine rushes, right?
Right, right.
They can't, you know, get it from anything else in their life. That's a problem. And so now we're taking the underlying syndromes and the things that these spur from, and now we're like, okay, but it's not that disorder over there. It's not, you know, the addiction and the making life choices problem. It's video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing?
You can get addicted to literally anything, any activity.
Right, and that was the original point of almost all the psychologies. It's
right,
just like,
right.
Let's look at the underlying cause. And now we're getting to this point where, you know, good, we've advanced. We're becoming more technical. We're becoming more, what do you call that? Where everything is in a very specific place.
Focused?
Proper ordered?
Let's say those things. You know what I'm saying? We're getting this point where everything is very defined, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And that can be a good thing until we get to this point where it's just like, it's video gaming disorder. You really think that that's the problem?
Well, according to the Electronic Entertainment Software Association, the World Health Organization knows that common sense and objective research prove video games are not addictive, and putting that official label on them recklessly trivializes real mental health issues like depression and social anxiety disorder.
So this is a fake mental health issue?
Yes, according to the, you know, the gaming industry representatives. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Go on, Nick.
I will. Because they are being more real than the people who made this up. So, sad to say.
What a magical time we live in.
Which timeline? Are we in the dark timeline or the light timeline? I don't know.
They keep crisscrossing in really weird patterns.
Oh, Jesus. And, putting that label on the blah, blah, blah. Depression and social anxiety, which deserve treatment to the full attention of the medical community. We strongly encourage the WHO to reverse direction on its proposed action.
You know, and that's kind of almost what I was saying, in a way. So, like,
why I read it.
Yeah, that's...
Because that's the reaction to common sense.
Well, that's the reason that we have the lesser syndromes and the lesser things defined is because it's like, you know, quote, you know, like note, annotation, like little asterisk, this isn't schizophrenia. You know, don't treat it in the same way you would schizophrenia. Like, don't treat depression as you would schizophrenia, you know?
Yeah.
So you need a very different approach. You know?
If they wanted to actually get people to listen to them, here's how I would have done it. Because I've made many comments in the past about, you know, there being an issue with people playing too many video games. But them just flat out saying, oh, it's a mental disorder. This is why bad things happen. You take a point that's like, you know, four levels above what people expect. let's go 20 levels above to make him really believe it. That's just not how it works.
Well, I can see where they're coming from and that, like, you know, there could be a problem in that. But it's not a mental condition in and of itself.
No.
Like what the ESA said.
The main issue
is social anxiety and depression. It's just people who can't get out of their rooms and do something with their lives.
The main issue is how deeply it affects people's perception.
Mm.
Because you can go from being a pathetic nobody swinging a stick to a man decked out in epic gear within a matter of a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, reality, it's
in
not
which,
exactly
in
like
which
that.
Game?
All games.
Oh, I thought you were speaking metaphorically and trying to make a joke.
No. Literally, you know, you can go from, you know, killing rats to saving the planet in the span of like a month or two. You know, you do a couple of things and boom, you level up. You go from not knowing a skill to mastering a skill like that. And so people's perceptions of what it takes to become good at something get really skewed. The perceptions of how long it takes to make something happen gets really skewed.
So when they go into the real world, they're like, this is hard. Back to my room.
Yeah. Like, seriously, you know, consider a functioning... Let's consider a healthy brain. If you're able to do something and... like, let's make it simple. Let's say you're able to chop cheese for some reason. You know, and you can...
I'm great at chopping cheese.
You can use, let's say, 4 ounces of effort, and you can get 3 ounces of cheese. Like, oh, that's not bad. I didn't have any cheese before I put any effort in, so
well,
I'm rewarded.
If you're just chopping it, you get 4 ounces in and 4 ounces out.
No, it's just, so let's say 4 ounces of effort, 3 ounces of cheese. Then let's say, so like, you go online, like he's
saying... I wouldn't measure effort in ounces.
Yeah, I'm doing it that way. So anyways, you know, 4 ounces of pressure, I guess. So anyway, then you're able to press a button, and you're able to be rewarded with 6 ounces of cheese. So you do 1 ounce of effort, so you've less effort, more cheese.
And flashing lights.
Where does the extra cheese come from?
Mom. So anyways, so, you know, legitimately, you're getting your food, you're from other sources oftentimes, and then, you know, you get, you know, the bells and whistles
good chopping,
of getting
nasty. Have some more cheese.
Yeah. So anyway, for the skill, like, functionally, you should want the most reward for the least amount of effort. Like, that's why you go about mastering something, because when you master it, you put forth. So, like, when I go bowling, by the way, I'm a bowler.
Mastering something takes 10,000 hours precisely.
Precisely, yes. Not accurately, but in the
precisely.
Precisely. So anyway, you know, I put forth very little effort. I'm having a lot of fun. When this new guy came on my team, he's been bowling for about a year. He puts forward like 7-8 times the amount of effort I do for like half my score oftentimes.
Show off.
And that's just because he hasn't mastered it to the level I have. And I haven't mastered it to the level of the pros. But you master something so you get good results for less effort. Like,
mm-hmm. Look at how he's looking down upon us now.
I am looking down on you.
Always looking down on us.
I am. I'm up on the bunk bed. So, I mean, like, a functional brain, this is a proper reaction to an improper scenario. You know, like, you should want... I think so. You know, you need to redefine the scenario so that, you know, like, well, yes, you now have control of a character who is competent. Well, you yourself are not.
They're trying to address an issue that is way broader than, or it's they're trying to address an issue broadly, but okay, they're trying to nuke a single person, but they're hitting the whole city.
I get what you're saying.
Or a group of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, they're just doing a bad job. And if they wanted to address any type of video game issue, address it the way we did, not calling people with, not saying they have mental disorders.
Right.
It's not
how. Well, especially
right.
the way that we're dealing with mental disorders now.
Yeah.
And the tools to address it already exist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're already in the DSM, so...
Yeah.
So screw these guys. Next news. Nintendo Switch sales have surpassed the Wii U's lifetime sales.
How many years was the Wii U a thing?
Let's see.
Still a thing.
Yeah, so, yeah.
2010 or 11? So
8 years.
7 years.
7 years. Oh, yeah, 2011.
So, yeah, so 10 months versus 7 years. Ouch. Wii U was the worst selling
release
Nintendo
date,
console.
November 2012.
Oh, okay.
So really?
Yeah. So 13, 14.
Oh, yeah. I used the wrong reference date in my mind.
Because the Wii and the Wii U are separate, right?
Yes. And this is why it was confusing because a lot of people thought that it was just like an expansion pack for the Wii. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you just attach it to your thing and it does better. But no, it was a separate console. And like, they had the worst marketing campaign ever. And then they were like, wait, why isn't anybody buying this? And then they're like, oh, because we're idiots.
Yeah, the big
and then they didn't fix that, and they didn't release any games on it. They released Smash and Mario Kart, and that was like there weren't a whole lot of good games on it.
Yeah, the regular Wii came out 2006 in November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 6, 12. When did the Switch come out?
Last year.
Last year.
Oh. 10 months.
Ooh boy.
Yeah.
Then again, didn't also the Switch so have a really bad launch? Because the game like kept breaking and whatnot.
No.
Yes.
What? Wait, the games kept breaking.
Like the controller, like if you accidentally like slid in the wrong thing, it would get stuck, and like issues were like the way it.
It wasn't the thing having a bad launch so much as people being idiots and like here I'll show you. So.
If we have a Wii. Oh no, a Switch
this is a
controller.
Switch. It's not a Wii anything. Yeah, they avoided that mistake. So if you take them out like this, and okay, right?
Uh-huh.
You want the this part to be on this side.
Yep.
But you then want the blue part.
If you are an idiot and put it upside down on this, oh look, it's hard to get in. That's kind of weird. It's kind of weird how hard it is to get it in. Wait, why is this button on the bottom?
Oh, Nick.
I better just jam it in. Jam it in real hard. Oh, nice and good there.
Yeah.
I better just force it in.
Oh, my.
On the wrong side.
Oh, see how this part
They're
doesn't
going into
physically
the exhaust
fit
shaft.
In there?
Jesus Christ.
See how this is, like, it actually doesn't fit?
Oh, man.
Better just shave it down or something.
Oh, that hurts.
I better just cut this part off and just jam it in there anyway.
I'm Jewish now.
I better just force it in. Oh, look. Actually, no. It goes in this side that easily.
Oh,
that was weird. That was weird. I feel really dumb.
Yeah, well...
I feel really dumb for putting it in the wrong side.
This isn't as exciting now.
That was the problem.
I like the green the green light that dances on the side of the controller when it comes out. Yeah, I like that.
Woo, woo, woo.
That's nice.
Did you ever have one of those like little toy guns that was like wee 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 wee, and then next time you pull the trigger, it's like dee doo dee doo.
Remember which one of us had a childhood, Nick?
And then
yeah,
and then the final time it does all of them in a row. Yeah,
I think everyone had that weapon,
that $2 weapon.
Yeah, no kid ever bought it, but all child somehow had it.
You're right. Who bought that?
Santa. The real Santa, not the
aunt or uncle that we don't see anymore.
I hate that thing. Who bought it? Said the parent. It wasn't me. Yeah. Said the other parent.
It anyway. Was me. Said the creepy guy living upstairs.
All right, what else we got?
Yeah, so that's good job. Have a towel? Good job, Switch. Speaking of fascists.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, so, much like Bin Laden, he also likes Japan's big national export.
Mm-hmm. He was an avid manga reader back when he was studying abroad under a pseudonym. And
Because they don't have schools in North Korea. Because obvious reasons.
Well, they have,
they would learn things if that happened.
Well, they have schools, but we know them as indoctrination camps.
Yes.
Kim Jong-un doesn't poo.
So he went to Switzerland and learned real facts there.
Well, he was a bad student, so not really.
Well, yeah. Apparently, he just spent all his time reading...
Doesn't it say that in the article head? He's a bad student?
The headline is, Swiss expert outs North Korea's Kim Jong-un as avid manga reader, poor student.
He read Dragon Ball. At least he had some taste.
Oh, he also read, what's that basketball thing?
Slam Dunk?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or it could be Kuroko's, what's it called?
No, it's Slam Dunk.
That if it was Kuroko's Basket or whatever, that would explain all those random, like, anthrax letters that the author got.
Oh.
Somebody knew.
So between Bin Laden and Kim Jong-un, and apparently, if we're going to keep talking political things, the alt-right is very anime-obsessed, I see a trend here.
What's the trend?
Next news story is... Jumanji beat Star Wars at the U.S. box office.
Speaking of...
Internet, explain. Nick, you're the internet.
I have no explanation.
For Jumanji beating Star Wars?
John has an explanation.
I was all over this. So I saw both. Did you see both?
I haven't seen either.
Well, you're at a 0%, Mr. Un.
I don't go to many movies.
Yeah, so...
Weirdly.
As a recap of something I'd said... Prior, Star Wars, it does a lot of things in very strange ways. And there's a few scenes, which you've heard about at this point, guaranteed, that just, it's impossible to completely suspend your disbelief. It just pulls you back into, like, I'm a 20-year-old to 30-year-old to 40-year-old watching a movie.
Wait, you know? which one?
Huh? Star Jumanji? Wars.
Oh.
Star Wars especially. So, because it takes itself pretty seriously, you know, it really tries to flush out the Force in this one. It really tries to create an immersive experience. It takes itself very seriously. It does a few things which, you know, aren't taking it seriously. Then it kind of tries to play the line of, like, I'm not serious, but I am. It's the direction was a little bit all over the place.
So it pulls like a Jar Jar Binks?
Sort of, yeah, you can say that. It goes a lot of different directions.
The original trilogy didn't, like, it was kind of like that, too. Especially the first movie.
The original trilogy, I don't know how else to say this besides the feeling about it was relatively consistent. Like, there were these big, so a lot of the times Luke was just this, you know.
Well, I think it got kind of more serious as it went on.
Yeah, but it was, like, gradual. It wasn't, like, really serious, not serious, kind of serious, really serious, really serious. What the heck was that?
Do
really
you remember
serious.
Ewoks?
I do.
Ewoks
and so
were
that
not
was,
serious.
No, that's
Speak
true.
Though they are a serious threat.
They are a serious threat, especially
they
if you have giant
you.
Robots.
They will eat you.
Apparently they wanted to go to Chewbacca's home planet.
Yeah.
And they just, they made those every hair one at a time. So they're like, well,
what?
We're not, yeah. So those suits, they put in like the hairs individually. So they're like, let's not do that. Let's instead cast midgets and make Ewoks. Anyway.
I knew about the Chewbacca's planet stuff, but I thought that they just made a artistic decision change, not a lazy decision change.
Kinda. They saved a lot of money and time. So anyway,
I thought they wanted more cute things like Jar Jar Binks. Not...
Yeah, that worked out. It kind of worked out for them. Some people really hate the Ewoks, but...
I don't mind
It also fit thematically, kind of.
What would happen if a Wookiee and an Ewok mated?
You'd get a normal-sized... hairy thing?
Most likely it'd be like if, you know, a gorilla and a tiger mated, nothing. One of them would orgasm, the other one would kind of cry, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It would be like if you got a horse and a donkey, you'd get a mule.
Well, you can get an infertile offspring, I suppose.
It's more like a horse and a cat.
But considering they developed on entirely different worlds, I don't think their genetics would be comparable, or, you know, that you'd be able to create an offspring.
I'm going to force them to mate, see what happens.
That's an interesting... Well, you have to go a long time ago into a galaxy far away. Anyway, point being, there were thematic things that, you know, although they took some liberties, it generally... It seemed to have a general direction, at least for each movie. And this one, it was all over the place. And some people love it more than any other Star Wars movie, and a lot of people hate it more than any other Star Wars movies. And so it was very polarizing. I don't think that as many people went to see it as obsessively. Like, people went and they saw when they re-released the original series, people saw that like 6 times in the theater. You know, that's a lot of their things. In the original movies, people saw it over and over again. Whereas this one, I think most people saw it once, maybe twice. I've known one person that saw it like more than twice in theater. But
nerd.
Versus Jumanji, Jumanji, they just had fun. The entire movie was just like, it was just one thing after another. Like, at no point did they take the whole thing too seriously because it was a video game, and they had like, you know, just like in a good comedy skit, you have a moment where it's almost sobering, and then punchline.
Mm-hmm.
They did that like a few times, and it was a fun movie. You can see it a bunch of times, and there were so many things they put into the script so that, you know, they said it 2 minutes later. They said, like, let's say they said the punchline, and then 2 minutes later you got the joke.
It's called a brick joke.
Sure.
Brick joke.
Yeah. You want to hear a brick joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll think of one.
Okay, so...
Well said.
So then you can go back, and then when they get to the punchline, before you know it's a joke, you're like, heh, heh, heh. You know, and then you can watch it, and then everyone else laughs, and then it's a jolly old time. So, just in general, the direction was more there. It's a movie that, you know, there's some fun action scenes, and there's fun... The Rock is spectacular, because he plays out this nerdy kid who's in this ginormous body who sometimes forgets that he has this ginormous body with competence. And then the other woman who is competent is in the same scenario. And the popular kids who are competent are in the like crappy, good-for-nothing bodies. One of them is tiny. The other one can't see.
What? He's blind?
Pretty much. And... They do a lot of things right, you know. It's not
kind of went over this last week.
Yeah. But you only find that out after you see it.
Right, so I think that's what I'm saying. People go back to watch it.
Ah.
And they marketed this really well. Jumanji, they had in the theaters, if you were there, at two theaters I saw this really colorful design where they showed a trailer for Jumanji.
Jumanji!
Yeah.
Jumanji!
Jumanji!
This is the Japanese version. Jumanji desu. They had the Rock and, what's her name? Something Gillen as the main two characters. And so they're drawing from wrestling and Doctor Who. Both of those fan bases are sort of prone to nostalgia, but they won't necessarily go out of their way for it. But, you know, both of those popularities spiked, you know, between 10 and 20 years ago. So anyway, I think they did a lot of things right, and a lot of people went to see the movie one time, and I think a lot of the people that would go to see the movie would see it again.
Yeah.
Versus Star Wars, people go to either get really pissed off or like, that was great, and then nobody else will go with them.
Is there any other news stories?
No, that's it.
Oh. Yeah, it looks like that will be it. And we have plenty of stuff to discuss on this Dragon's Flow TCast, because we've watched several new things. Oh, Animaniacs getting a reboot.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing we missed. I don't know how the hell they're going to do that. Because Animaniacs is not necessarily a show that is going to be okay in today's PC culture. They're going to have to, like, change it to the point where they're not even Animaniacs. Are they going to keep doing Hello Nurse?
Right.
Like, I don't see
that. Can't do that. That was the first thing that came into my head when you said that. I was like, that's not going to happen anymore.
And it's going to be on Hulu, and they're so confident they owe the 2 seasons right off the bat.
What did the girl Animaniac, Dot?
Yeah.
What did she say? Because she one of the ways that they...
I remember there was something about Prince.
Fingerprints.
Yes.
Yeah, she always just say, boys, and she would, like, clock him over the head.
Yeah, but no, she...
That'll get amped up.
There was an episode where she, at least one or two episodes, where she did the same thing.
Oh, yeah, there's been several episodes where a cute guy comes in and she does the same thing.
Exactly, so that was back then when, you know, like, okay, one did it, the other can do it. And so they kind of pushed the boundary in that way. But I don't think that, I think you're right, I don't think they can do that nowadays. You cannot objectify people
in
such a way.
Can't make Animaniacs in 2017.
What they should do is they should just go ahead and make it like they did old school, and the very first episode, find some way to just utterly destroy social justice warriors. Just have them be like the main antagonist the first episode.
Oh.
And just like, nya, I'm a boy. I don't think so. Something like that. Something to show, like, they don't care.
Well, they'll have to.
I don't think they need to go, like, you know, that far, but...
I think they do,
like,
because...
I think shoving it in their faces is good enough.
Because if they don't show that they don't care, the SJWs will think there might be a chance.
There's a difference between not caring and like, targeting. Because if they do targeting, then it's going to be...
just for one episode, not the
whole
series.
We have to stop this.
Just for one episode, not the whole series. Or at the very least, just like one joke.
They have to be self-aware.
Yeah.
Right, that's the point.
Let's see. I wonder if we're going to bring back some of the more classic stuff, like Pinky and the Brain, Good Idea, Bad Idea.
Yeah, Good Idea, Bad Idea. That was the one I liked.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I want to see what they would do to the psychologist. I think now it'll just be like a horde of people, like just, you know. Like, it's changed a lot since the early 90s.
I don't remember the psychologist.
The one who... I can't do an accent. John.
Can't do any accent.
Now, Vacco, how do you feel? What was it? What do you think? Or what's on your mind? My hat. No, that is on your head. What is on your mind? Oh, my hair. No, that is also on your head. Yeah. Just chase them around to get them to talk about their feelings.
That's something that you could get at the SJWs for.
What else you got? You got the Italian pigeons.
Oh, yeah.
That's it!
The god feathers.
The god feathers. What else do we have? We had the...
That one little kid who kept wandering off and the dog who...
Yes. Oh, yeah. Is it Sonia or
Why?
Something?
I don't remember.
Why?
I don't think that was it.
Okay, I love you. Goodbye.
What you doing?
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
All right. Now that
she'd be like a teenager.
Huh?
They're totally going to make her a teenager.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like, the teenager that always gets into trouble and somehow is, like, untouched.
Yeah. And it's, like, never her fault. But
yes!
Somehow it is at the
exactly.
same time.
They're totally... They should totally make that.
And like the Mr. Magoo of teenagers.
I think... what I think... So, if I was the writer, I would have that, and it would be, like, her best friend who wants to date her, maybe, always keeping her out of trouble, and then he brings her home, and he's, like, smoking... You know, like, he's all... covered in coal and smoking and like, oh my god, you know, like gonna die. And the dog is like ancient in the corner and just looks at him and like nods his head like, yeah.
It is your turn, my child.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have passed the torch.
Gives him like a small kiss or something.
So join us for the second infusion. We're gonna cover, you know, the usual two and then like three, four, maybe five other...
Bunch of new shows.
Yeah. See you then.
And I love you. Goodbye.
And if you have any questions or comments, send them to tcast@thedragonstreasure.com.
Yes.
I get confused.
Let's second infuse this. I love this tea.
Yes. See you in a bit.
Whoa, hey, I didn't see you there. Welcome to the second infusion.
Oh, that's really lame.
Yeah, it is.
That stopped being like a thing in the 80s.
It's also true. We still don't see him there.
Yeah.
You just sense their energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you do sense their energy.
I do.
Someone snapped with the times. Think more.
Well, what's the energy like?
Well, they could use some. All right. So yeah, I'm talking to you. You should go to the gym. You need a little bit of work. You know, I'm not saying you haven't tried, but you know, tomorrow maybe I'll meet you there.
It's kind of like, have you ever smelled the sun?
No.
Well, then I can't really explain it to you.
So we have you at least changed him?
What?
Have you at least changed him?
The son?
Your son. All right, go on. What did we just watch?
What was the name of it?
We just watched Kokoku.
Bless you.
Kokoku?
Mm-hmm. It's apparently on Amazon and on Crunchyroll, which I didn't know was playing. Oh, so
you could have just looked at the helpful chart.
To hell with your chart. I'm a man of action.
Well, the heart, the chart.
Yeah, the heart, exactly. Man of action.
The chart helped us watch it, so that's there you go.
That was good.
And it helped us know that mm-hmm. the other one that you want to watch is in 2 days, so.
Yep. Question is, will it be on Crunchyroll or this being Amazon?
Well, who knows? It could be on nothing, so.
Yep, we'll find out.
So, I gotta say, the second infusion of this, the spiced green, is much more subtle. I really, really like the first infusion, but it seems like the second infusion is more relaxing.
Is it because we had that
tamarind
candy? Chipotle that might mango have helped, thing?
But I think that it is just more subtle.
How long do we leave the second infusion?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
The first one was two, so.
Mm. Oh, well.
That's about right. I mean, I get more of the green tea, so I mean, I'm not complaining, but I like the robust subtle spiciness of the first one.
So, Kokurururu, that's definitely an anime to watch this season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do yourself a favor, watch it now, then go to the gym.
It's definitely something that'll keep you guessing.
Yeah, it's got good artwork, mm-hmm. It does the job of giving an idea of the plot without just spilling it all out. And not having to explain everything.
Oh, we're in the second infusion. We can spoil
it. Yeah. The basic premise is that this family's kid gets kidnapped and, well, we could go pay the ransom or we could go stab them. And then the grandpa's like, no, I have a magic rock. So let's use that. And the magic rock lets them stop time. So they go and take the save the kid, and then some other people come, and they can move in the time stop. And,
which nobody else can be in.
Yeah, right. So it's kind of implied that there's some like ancient clan bloodline thing going on.
So I do have a...
And
a,
by implied, I mean outright stated.
I love the bloodline limits. They're coming back strong in this. The grandpa can instant teleport.
Yeah. I didn't expect that at all. That was great.
Yeah. I half expected him. When the sword was slowing down, I'm like, can we futz with this further? Like, I thought that she was going to do something, but I was glad it was the grandpa. How did he figure out that he could do that? You know what I mean? Like, if you're already in a place where you're basically all of them there are instant teleporting, right? They're just going in between time. You know what I mean?
Well, he's saying that because time has stopped, it's instant.
So, like, in our timeline, one moment they're in their what do you call it, apartment. The next moment, they are, I mean, the literal next moment, they're in the place.
Right,
you
yes.
know. So, in our version, it's an instant teleport. And then he can do it in the instant teleport.
It's a JoJo time stop where it's like, oh, I stop time. Oh, yeah, well, I stop time even further.
I can stop time. I can jump time. Oh, I can time leap.
You haven't gotten to that part in the anime. Or that the anime hasn't gotten to that part in the manga.
So I still have no idea why or how he figured out that he could do that. But the bad guys seem like they knew they can do that. And then there's
the old guy knew as well.
Yeah, I know. But like, first of all, that was my first question. Why does he know? Like, what possible purpose in this time frame?
He's used it before.
Yes, I know. But why?
Exactly.
So like, if he's never encountered another being, why would you develop that? And how would you know that you're doing it?
I see.
Well, we don't know that he's never encountered another being.
Hey, maybe it was to avoid the gods.
Maybe.
Which is also awesome.
Yeah, those huge monsters are cool.
Seems like they react to your intent. and might be there to punish you or help you.
So what do we think that the their existence is? I think it's because he had this huge warning where he's like, okay, so everybody comes here and they want to start stealing stuff and peeping on girls and doing all kinds of no good stuff that you can only do while, you know, you're in here in the what did he call it? The stasis?
Something like that.
And so I think that they only appear if you start messing with that, like hard messing. Like, they're kind of like, okay, we're going to drag our son out of here. But the girl was like, she had revenge in her eyes. Like, she kind of went up and she was like, maybe going to, you know, start really beating into them. And then it kind of appeared. And then the grandpa was like, no, let's just get the kid out of here. And then we'll be on our way.
And then the other guy did it and he just appeared right behind. And he's obviously out for blood.
Right.
Yeah. I'm thinking that, I don't know yet if they're the sort that's going to punish them for doing bad things, or if they're like, yes, my child. You know, like...
Like you're there to accept them or something?
Yeah, maybe... I don't know. Maybe, you know, for one, it could be like demons eat people. It could be like, yes, and then eat them like they want them to do it. And maybe they'll give them the extra...
Like keep messing with time and accumulate time messing points.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'll
yes,
eat all
number,
your time
number.
Messing.
Exactly. So it could be like that, or, you know. So that's where I'm at.
I like turtles.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to suspect yet. I'm going to just keep nice and guessing. So we got that.
Do we have any other theories?
Yes, I have another theory.
The Japanese did.
So the main family has the plot point of they can instant jump. They have some sort of like quasi godlike ability to do that, and that seems to be why they're being targeted.
Yeah, they have they have the Kekkei Genkai.
Yes, I think that another person's bloodline will be like What do you call it? What was the show with the Dominators?
Psychopaths.
I think another person's bloodline limit will be like Psychopaths, is where they can kill somebody without summoning the Time Gods. Those big ass things.
What's that have to do with Psychopaths?
Well, so like the main bad guy, the Dominator can be looking straight at him as he's killing somebody and not go up.
He doesn't
trigger the gods.
Right, exactly.
He's so ambivalent about it that he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was one of the explanations. But so like there are rules that are in play and maybe he doesn't trigger those rules.
Okay.
And so maybe he wants all of the power. Who knows? But I think there will be another time limit.
Well,
like
the sort of guy in charge there in that scene was he was like, yeah, I wish I was part of the bloodline and could have this power. So, is there only the one, family bloodline that, like, inherits the time skip or stop abilities? Yeah. Or, you know, are there other clans out there that's been, you know... Is it a Naruto situation?
Yeah.
So where there's the different hidden villages in the old dusty house...
Yeah, I think it's gonna be right in the middle where there's just maybe two or three bloodline limits. The one that the grandpa's got is
I'm thinking three is a good number.
Mm-hmm, is the best one to sort of combat and run away from the gods with, and maybe that's why he knows, because maybe he did something and he saw something and he was able to run away. I don't know. And then there's another one where they can maybe like Eren Titan style use the gods for an extent, or or just don't trigger them. I don't know. So I think they're going to be rare, and that guy doesn't have them. Or maybe he has a power, and he's just like, but I want that other one. You know, and it's like a cool power that a good person would like.
Well, he said, yeah, that's something only a member of the true bloodline, or a true user can use, or something like that.
A true disciple.
A true disciple, yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited, though.
Yeah, so...
That was good.
That's definitely something we'll keep watching, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On the topic of bloodlines, Basilisk, the sequel, somehow is pretty good.
Someone had a lot of faith in this.
Well, it Okay, so obviously spoilers for the original. It didn't end well. It ended with everybody dying. So, it starts off with, it's not a spiritual successor. It's a direct sequel, but, it's set in, warring states. So, I forget how much later it's set, but
2 weeks,
a couple generations, to the point where they're not sure if what happened in the original is a myth or not. They're like, well, that actually didn't happen. I heard it was this, you know, and so in the original it was. There's the two clans, and they have to fight each other in basically a team battle royale, and whoever's left standing is the true ninja clan. And this is, there's only one ninja clan, and they've basically joined forces, I guess. So, like, the remnants of the survivors joined forces, I guess? I don't know. It's kind of unclear. But one thing that was cool was Nobunaga at the burning of Honnoji Temple is about to die, and he's like, this voice comes up, and the voice is like, don't you wish this could end differently? And he's like, yes. And then it cuts to, different scenes. So... maybe Nobunaga is going to be a cool guy in this. So that's a thing. And
that's actually, I just really like that kind of writing for Nobunaga. You know, like everyone else is just like, no, I did my time. This is exactly what it needed to be.
Well,
and he's just like, yes.
Well, it starts off with him like reciting like a mantra and like just fire everywhere around him, and you know he's in this Buddhist temple and there's a giant Buddha statue, and he's just like, you know, every man must die, and I've come to terms with this basically, and then the voice comes and it's like, don't you wish things could be different? And he's like, yes, I wanna do things my way, basically. So I don't know how...
I am ready to die. Are you sure about that? No, God, save me!
Pretty much. Though probably not God, I'm guessing. It was a name I recognized, but it's been a few years since I watched Basilisk, so... I forget who it was.
Amoretsu?
No.
Tsukuyomi?
No, it wasn't a god. It was some person.
Jeff?
It might have been Jeff. Anyway, so then there was just like a bunch of training montages basically with like a bunch of kids basically playing ninja tag, and there's blood involved in that. So the TLDR is They're raising the ninjas up to be ninjas, and so back to what I led into this in with the bloodlines. In the original, it was all about the two bloodlines merging together, which they were gonna do by marrying the
Giggity.
Yes, pretty much. They were gonna marry the two heads of the heirs of the clan, and the heirs both had eye.
They had eyes.
They had eye bloodline Kekkei Genkais. So one had the power to stop other people's ninja tricks, and the other I think they had to do what they were told or something.
Oh.
I forget.
They had a Gios.
Well, it's something like that. I'm probably wrong about that.
I'm a fan of the second one.
It's been a long time.
It reminds me of a very good show.
One was it canceled it out.
You should watch.
And one was it did something like sort of the opposite, but you know, just as powerful, kind of like, you know, it was the counterpart, basically.
Yes.
And it wasn't a Gias.
It was a Gias.
It was not a literal Gias with the symbol in the eye. Anyway.
So exactly, with a counterattack.
So, because of what happened in the first show, it's the two kids that have this, the eyes, are siblings.
Ooh.
So, yeah, they gotta
do the dirty.
They gotta hook up and continue that bloodline.
Wincest. How old are they?
Like 10.
Yeah.
So they're the heirs, and then they've gotta do that. Well, that's kind of what the Hugas were doing. They were cousins.
They were, yes.
I was really creeped out by it, and then I was like, wait, that was in Naruto. I keep comparing this to Naruto, and it only, like, my case just keeps getting stronger.
Well, Neji and Hinata weren't supposed to hook up.
Not those two, but
her cousin,
somebody else was.
Yeah. Neji was supposed to be, like, you know, sterilized, basically. But, yeah.
No, he was like her bodyguard or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's not supposed to mate.
But somebody else, I think.
It was like her cousin.
It was just like some random person. I don't know. Anyway.
But then Naruto's like, I'm Naruto Uzumaki.
Believe it. anyway. So, yeah, then some other stuff happened, and, watch it. It's pretty good. Oh, there's some cool stuff that they do with the art, where it's kind of like they have little panels. So like you have like a wide background, right? So like people are standing like under a tree, and you know there will be a group of like five people. So they'll have the landscape in the background, and then somebody will talk, and then their panel will like. Slide into the foreground.
Oh, I see.
And it's like, you know, a quarter of the screen, and then it'll just have them talking in a box, and then somebody else's panel will slide in when they're talking, and so that kind of goes back and forth. And they do that.
Is that all the time, or is that
no? It's, okay, no.
It's kind of cool.
It's enough to be interesting, but rare enough. Rare enough to be interesting and not common enough so that it's still interesting.
Okay.
You said
well said. Yeah, that was redundant. It's
we get what you mean.
It's
done
the perfect
at the
right
balance.
Pace. Yeah. It's not constant enough to be annoying.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see, other things on this list. A place further than the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I originally did not have too much interest in, but I saw the first two episodes today, and it definitely has a lot of promise.
So I put this, when I read the description for it, it was just like, it was one of the four girls start a club to do a thing genre, and I kind of dismissed it, but then I was like, well, the thing that they're trying to do is go to Antarctica. So maybe I'll just watch the first episode. And then I did, and it was good. It's like a real life version of Gurren Lagann, kinda. Hmm. Yeah, so that's a bit of hyperbole, but
so is Gurren Lagann.
It's that's true. No, but I think for the four schoolgirls start a club to do a thing genre, this is about as close as you're going to get to that.
Yeah, it's got some good things to it. It's basically a coming of age story, but actually interesting for once.
Yeah, and for one thing, it has a good intro that isn't J-pop. And we realized during the break that we have to talk about this next week because we've been kind of having this idea in a sort of cloud in our minds. But we need to solidify it, kind of. So we'll talk about intros next week.
Yeah.
But the intro wasn't boring J-pop. It was decent, and it had a good theming to it. Anyway,
it was nice. Mm-bop.
No.
Mm-bop.
No. Stop that. Well, they have a surprisingly short amount of time that they actually spend in school, and they don't do generic cute things. They're actually all kind of plain. Like, they're not designed to be, oh, look at me, I'm a cute girl. They're not waifus, you know what I mean?
Yeah, two of the characters, I'm going to have a bitch of a time figuring out who's who.
The two who are working at the convenience store?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Yeah. Well, one is, like, really excited, and one is excited about nothing.
Exactly! Thank you, Nathan. One gets slightly more excited than the other.
Yeah.
So that's...
I can understand that.
It's practically the only way I'm going to be able to tell them apart.
Well, one's the lead character.
Yeah.
So she'll talk more.
And so, yeah, that's something I'd recommend checking out. I watched most of the first episode of the anime about the girl who likes ramen, and it's about as garbage as it sounds. Go ahead and skip. It's about a girl who likes ramen and her very creepy lesbian stalker. That is the show. Like, the ramen girl wants to be left alone, the creepy lesbian stalker is, no, I want to lick you.
Ew. You know, we should have a way to break these down. So, like, top tier is, like, tell your friends and family. You know, like, get them into the, you know, to appreciate anime. And the mid tier is, like, watch it. You know, you'll enjoy it. And then, like, the lowest tier is, like, don't watch it. But then there's, like, a subcategory of garbage tier that seems to be what we're talking about. Is, like... The annoying anime fans that we should disassociate with, tell them to watch it.
We should have a warning,
kind of,
don't watch this.
We should have a.
We should watch it so you don't have to,
like that. But you know, like, what's that noise? But anyway,
it was my foot.
Okay, that's fine. So the last one should be tell the annoying anime fans to watch it so they start to dislike anime.
We'll call it the Logan Paul tier.
Exactly. Okay, sure.
If you like this, you're not invited to the store.
But tell them about it. You know who they are. Get them on it. Make their lives suffer.
Yeah.
All right.
That's about it for that. Did I watch anything else? I don't think I did. Oh, wait. No, I did.
Two things. Two big ones are left.
But it's something of the new stuff.
Besides those. New shows.
Get back here. This one was called... Record of the Grand Crest Ward. First episode, not too good. They tried to make the common mistake of, let's fit the everything into this single episode.
Yep.
And so,
well, plot dump.
Yeah. Just like, fuck, I don't know. Cool, I guess. At least the plot seems to have promise, so I'm going to keep watching it.
So needs a second chance.
Yeah. Just that first episode, like, holy shit. So from what I can gather, because it was like so much, I didn't get any of it.
Right.
In this world, chaos becomes like a physical manifestation.
Oh, I like stuff like that.
Yeah. And the lords of all of these places have something called a crest, which they use to drive away the chaos.
Okay.
But, something's going awry, and someone's going around and basically, like, killing the crest lords and stealing their stuff. And now, like, nations are warning against each other and not worrying about the chaos, which is starting to spread.
This sounds like it was inspired by Dark Souls and or Berserk.
Maybe. And so, the main... I guess the two main characters. One of them is a dude who we're not sure yet how he got his crest. He, like, made it himself or something like that. But he's basically a nobody trying to work his way up. And he's going to be like, you know, I'm going to save the nation type of stuff. Or save the world, I guess. And so he's not much of a sword fighter. And his crest is okay, but, you know, he's trying. And then the other main character is a mage. And mages make contracts with lords and whatnot, or actually knights. So what happens in the first meeting, she is off to be not wed, but like forced into a contract with some dude, part of the Alliance and the Federation. Those are the two we know so far that are fighting. She's off to make a contract with one of the people, but then the opposite side stops her and like wants to like kill her because reasons, and basically rape her as it was implied, which is in violation of the treaty. And that's all I know about the treaty.
Well, that's good.
And she's all like, I'm going to take care of you myself because I'm powerful as fuck. Then in comes riding the male main character. It's like, hold, young lady, I will save thee. It's like, this ought to be good. Go ahead. So he does some fighting and he ends up fighting him off. But he's not an official knight yet. The crest does not recognize him as a knight. So she uses her magic to summon this, like, chaos demon dog thing, like the Cerberus from Tartarus? Tartarus? However you say that? Tartarus. She basically summoned that, and he fought it, able to kill it, and because of that, his crest got upgraded to knighthood, and she made a pact with him instead. And thus that adventure to save the land begins. They basically went over to this pathetic lord's place, the one who sent the bad guys, basically kicked his ass and stole his crest. It's like, this is my castle now. It's like, are you sure you want to take this one? You're not aligned with anyone, so you'll be surrounded by enemies. And the female mage is like, yeah, that's how we want it. The male one is like, stop trying to kill me. I'm trying to do this slow, okay? And so, yeah, there was also like some kind of a wedding or some shit.
That is an awful lot for one episode.
Yeah.
That was less than half.
Wow.
Yeah. I completely skipped the first half because it was just like, Jesus Christ. Because there was like a wedding and like some kind of betrayal and fuck.
It's like a whole season of Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah. So,
in
yeah.
20 minutes.
So it's got promise, the whole chaos manifesting and the crest doing stuff.
The background sounds cool, but the pace is going to be like that for the whole show.
And so that covers the new stuff.
Now actually, I got one more. I'm so sorry. Jesus.
What's up?
Junji Ito Collection.
Uh-huh.
Watch the first episode of that. Mm-hmm. They picked a bad story to start with. So it's a guy who likes kind of occult stuff, and he's really antisocial and just like, there's a popular person, he gets really jealous, so he makes like voodoo dolls of them and stuff. And he does that to a bunch of people, and one by one they kind of drop like flies, or, you know, they get sick and have to go to the nurse's office or something like that.
They drop like a sick beat.
No, that would be good, I think. But, yeah, it's pretty much just 15 minutes of that, and then he gets caught in a bear trap because he keeps going to the same forest to nail stuff to the trees. And the old guy who owns the forest, I guess, or he's a park ranger or something, I don't know. He's like, my trees! So he puts out a bunch of bear traps, and the guy gets caught in them, and it's... There's a lot of, like, was he actually cursing them, or was it just, like, he made the voodoo doll, and then, like, he poisoned the guy's food or something like that, and it's kind of weird, but ultimately it was, like... So this is an author with, like, probably 30 years of material to go off of. they picked probably, like, one of the worst. Like, it was just kind of mundane. It was, eh.
Think of it like this. It can only go up from here.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, stop being such a pessimist. God.
Yeah.
But then they also had, like, it felt like a next week preview. But they had another short story where there was a, like a, apparently it was a disease where their daughter turned into a doll. So, like a life-size porcelain doll. And
show us on this doll. Wait a man touched you. If I do that.
and apparently in this world, this is like a disease that's pretty common, I guess. And most people, when that happens, they're like, okay, well, we're just gonna put our doll down or something. I don't know how they do that. Do they just, like, take a hammer to the doll's skull? Whatever. But they're like, well, no, she's still our daughter, and she still can, like, talk and look and move around and stuff, so it's really creepy, but whatever. So they keep the doll around, and it's, like, ages really fast. Like, the porcelain starts to crackle, and the paint, like, peels off and stuff, and it, like, really quickly, like, degrades and starts to break down, and it looks, like, creepier and creepier, and looks like an old haunted house, something you'd find in a haunted house. And then it kind of accelerates into, like, it's just messed up, like, this should not exist, and it, like, grows tentacles and stuff, and it stops being a doll, and now it's, like, a creature with, like I said, tentacles, and it's got, like, eyes growing out of the side of its body and stuff. It's really creepy, but it was only, like, a 2-minute thing, and it could have, like...
That would have been more interesting than the other story.
Yes, the whole... Most of the part of the first whole part of the episode was focused on this kind of dull thing, and I'm like, okay, is the whole show gonna be like this? Because if not, unsign me up, because I was already signed up. And then the second part was like, yes, this is what I wanted.
And then it's done.
And it was only, like, 2 minutes, and I'm like, is it going to be, like, a thing where it's, like...
10 minutes and nothing, 2 minutes
and where it's going to... Well, is it going to be, like, a 50-50 chance every time? I don't know.
I guess you'll tune in next week.
Hopefully they'll have, like, a 10-minute of two good stories each time. That's what I'm hoping for, so... We'll see you next week.
Right, and now we move on to the new old stuff. Ancient Magus Bride and Dragon Ball Super. And actually before that, I'll dive into Black Clover because the episode again was actually showed some promise.
What?
Yeah.
Took 12 episodes.
Yeah. No, it took more than that. It took
an entire season.
It took like 14. So they've introduced dungeons now into this world, which is very cliche, but they got potential of making it work. So these things randomly appeared, and it's, you know, it's where ancient wizards and whatnot hid away their stuff, and so mages have to go and, like, recover the treasure and make sure bad people don't steal it, make sure people don't go treasure hunting because traps are all over the place, etc. And so it's the main character who still has his annoying voice.
Everyone says the English version is, quote, not as bad.
Glowing review.
Right.
Have you listened to that at all?
Not yet.
Because I've heard the same.
And so it's...
Not as bad.
Main character, Tsundere Woman, and one of the members of Black Clover who... Seems like a happy-go-lucky kid, but is overly obsessed with fighting. All he wants to do is fight. And so they go over there, and they did a lot of time wasting stuff, which really annoyed me. So I'll just cut to the interesting part. So the Wizard King is who sent them, and he also sent the main character's rival from the Golden Dawn clan or whatever they called in as well. So it'll be both of them going through all of this. And then the guy who likes fighting, he's already like, he's the best at sensing mana, or they finally introduced the concept of mana into this. And he's the best at sensing it, and he sensed really strong people. What makes this interesting is that this opened up in between the borders between the Clover Kingdom, which is where we see all this, and the Diamond Kingdom, which they're enemies. So we got more kingdoms now. So they're expanding, good.
Is there going to be a heart and and spade
kingdom? I don't know. It'll be interesting if it is. And so, yeah, it's a dungeon filled with like traps and monsters, and then two main characters are going to be doing their thing. And then the other guy's going to go off fighting strong people. So it has some potential. And that's all I'm going to say with that. Now then, which one we begin with first? Magus Pride or Super?
Magus Pride.
Magus Pride.
New opening.
Clearly inferior new opening.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been as bad as if it was presented in the other order.
Yeah.
Like, if it was, if this one was the first one, I'd be like, oh, that's a good opening.
This one?
But that one was so amazing.
It was.
It's one of the best openings of anything ever.
We'll discuss next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This one was
made by the person who was at ASEN last year.
Oh.
Which person? It was like 30,000 people.
The performer. The I knew person.
The I knew person?
A-I-N-U.
I knew.
Yes.
John? I don't know. To yourself, Nick. Shame on you. But it would seem a little bit lazy because they just took a lot of just actual screenshots from the show. Just kind of copy-pasted it all over the place. So, yeah, it was not as exciting as it usually could have been. It wasn't, like you said, it wasn't bad. It was just not as good.
Yeah, it was an S-tier beginning.
Not as much effort as they could have put in it. On it. But halfway through the season, so to be expected.
The episode itself was pretty decent.
What was really decent?
The episode itself was pretty decent.
Oh yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It was just kind of on that tier.
Yeah. They got to be a little bit closer. That was fun when he was about to erase the memory. She's just like, no! They're important memories to me.
It changed quickly, and then the way they made him smile as he's like, I understand something new.
Loneliness. Yay.
Thank you, my human teacher. everything about... and the sheep were cute. I wasn't sure if I was watching the right episode because they were in the last one, right?
Yep.
But then they sheared it and then had... I really liked that the sheep they ate cold. You know, the good ones?
Yep.
Ate cold, and you would have thought that you would have been friends with the ones that ate warm because you like things that like warm. But no, that one was like the worst thing to run into, you know, like that's right, spot on, exactly correct. It's like the little details that they add in.
So what do you think the Muslim guy is gonna do?
What,
the guy who's like 1,000 years old, smells like sand, and
why do you think that he's a Muslim?
He's got the same garb as, like, the old pictures of, like, Middle Eastern mages and whatnot.
He looks like the guy from Journey.
What?
From Journey?
Don't Stop Believing? Oh.
No, not that band, the game.
Yeah. Not played it.
I liked him a lot, too, because at the beginning he's like, oh boy, there's a story that's about to unfold. I'm so happy, you should trust me. Just kidding!
And he took it away.
Yeah, turn her into a fox.
Well, she already was a fox, and now it's just more literal. Yeah.
I don't think... Did he get... Was the fox her, or did she get... Did, like, the fox throw the thing around her and then teleport her somewhere else, and the fox took her place.
Could be that.
I'm going to guess, because of red hair, that she is the fox. Like I said, she is a fox. Huh? Huh?
Okay.
Acknowledge me. There we go.
I understood your joke.
Yeah. That's all I can hope for.
I like that he's just a lot of chaos that they just tossed into it at the last second and then ended. I'm like, okay. Because it was a nicely paced episode. You sort of saw her progression through learning. You saw that she's gotten to the point where she offered the one church guy the same thing that Ainsworth did. It's like, you know, a lot of things being said without just coming out saying it.
Yeah,
you know?
right. Like, by the way, this is where the three episode OVA happened.
Oh,
she was reading that book.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Good eye. Just
go ahead and watch that now, the last two episodes.
Yeah. So that happened here, and yeah, they did a ton. And then at the final moment, they just total chaos and end. And so I have a taste for the next episode, and yeah, that was good.
Right. And so Dragon Ball Super.
The long-awaited episode that broke Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily I was working, so I didn't catch it until, like, late that night, so I was just fine. Earlier, like, yesterday, you said something disappointed you, John. What was that?
It was just that all of this was for this episode, and there were a couple cool moments in it, but this episode was really just to lead into the next episode. Like, more so than usual.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting something final. Someone gets eliminated, some new thing is unveiled, something, and all I got was a big final flash.
And that was an awesome final flash.
The artwork was nice.
Yeah.
There were those just moments where I loved the beginning.
I do too. Yeah, like the first like 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
High noon.
Yeah, high noon. A piece of his thing, the mustache. Blowing in the wind. It's just like, oh man. Like and like, you know, with Jumanji, they didn't obviously take that too seriously, you know, and it was just like, okay, this is very tense, mustache. Okay. We're still gonna have some fun. But I liked that they progressed Vegeta's character back to an arrogant prince a bit. He's been a family man, Guile, for too long. But next episode's a bigger deal. And for how much hype this got, I expected just maybe a little bit more of something than, oh, look, he looks like he's dead. No, just kidding. Not even a scratch.
Well, there was still a lot in this. Vegeta began to see some of Jiren's movements.
Yeah.
And we caught a glimpse of Jiren has some weak point. It seems in between his attacks, he is weak.
I don't think anyone's given him that hard of a blow before.
Yeah.
Right?
Probably true, because Goku can't attack while he's in that state, and so even if when he hit him, it was just like,
Yeah, so he's just like, oh god, I got hit! So there is some aspect of a weakness in Jiren that we finally got. In between his attacks, he is weak. So we have a place of attack, we get a chance to see just, oh, that blow looked very painful for Vegeta when he got basically blown the F up. Just the scream and the face, and he's, like, nearly unconscious. Just,
Yeah. And also, the voice acting was great when he's just... not even out of breath, huh? Son of a god.
We also got to see... it was very satisfying just seeing Frieza get pitched out by...
By the minor character.
Yeah, by knockoff Beerus. You know, oh, this tailor's handy. Yeah, it is. Just goes running off of Frieza. Oh, Frieza's going to be pissed off when he wakes up. That's going to be nice. 17 and and 17 and Gohan dealing with Topo, reminding us that he is a candidate for God's destruction.
Right, he's also as strong as Goku right now.
Uh-huh.
So, that's really exciting.
That's
Who is?
Topo. So, he's, like, totally shelved as a character.
I think... Goku's stronger than Topo.
I don't know. He went, you know, Super Saiyan Blue, Kaioken times whatever, and he, you know, he was just fighting him and stuff. I mean, like,
yeah, but that was like 50 episodes ago.
And again, we don't know how strong Topo gets. if he's on par with Goku, he's obviously got a very strong character, you know, like, getting strong
arc.
Yeah,
that's true.
And
Well, Goku's strength accelerates way faster than
anything else we've seen.
Yeah, but, yeah, we haven't seen
how strong...
And so,
again, he's on par with that.
Goku can get, or Toppo can get, but, Vegeta was keeping up with them.
Goku?
Toppo,
yeah.
But he wasn't... They obviously weren't or at least Toppo wasn't fighting at full strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, like, I mean, Toppo, obviously, he's not going to be top tier. But I come back to that. Like, he is basically as strong as Goku. And so that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's going to fight Gohan... Like, come on, Gohan, do something. You get your third chance now.
Well, you know what? I ended up seeing the next episode preview because new ending and whatnot. I'm just like, ah, fuck it, I'm already seeing it. Anybody else see it?
Nope. I don't like the new ending.
Huh? I like it more than the old one, actually. So nobody saw it?
Nope.
You want me to spoil?
It's no Boogie Back, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to spoil?
Eh, go for it.
It seems like Vegeta is getting his own direction with transformations.
Oh, no, I did hear that. Or yeah. I saw that. Yeah, so, again, that's what I mean. This is leading to that episode. Like, that's what I wanted to see!
So
yeah,
give Goku Ultra Instinct. Vegeta gets his own new transformation line.
Yeah.
Gohan's got his Mystic, which
you know,
hopefully he'll...
That's great, because it's always been like, okay, well, now we got the next transformation, and Goku did it. And then everyone does it.
And then everyone else gets yeah.
Everybody else
except
gets
for the
new
time
upgrade.
That Gohan did it.
Oh yeah.
Well yeah.
Number two. So actually, this is what I think. So I think that you know we got the progression of Super Saiyans, which was obviously Super Saiyan 1, 2, 3. Then they went off the spectrum and went God, and then they figured, okay, you can go Super Saiyan God, and that's all they've gone so far. And then Goku went off the spectrum again with Ultra Instinct.
Well, Goku's thing is not the Saiyan exclusive.
What? So, yeah, the Ultra Instinct, correct.
Yeah, so what makes this nice is that Vegeta's thing is going to be some variation of a Super Saiyan Blue.
Exactly.
So he's going to continue the Saiyan lineage with his transformations.
That's what I mean. And so now, yeah. You know, Goku's gone off the spectrum, but Vegeta's going to heighten the spectrum. And so he's already Blue, and now he's going to do something else on that. And I think that's really cool.
Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Blue,
Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Blue, Super Saiyan Ultra. Two. No, Super Saiyan 3. Super Saiyan 3, he finally gets there. Just jumps to.
So.
Has he not gotten there yet?
Super Saiyan 3?
Not in canon.
Not that we know. If he did, he doesn't care anymore, because, I mean.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, he definitely hasn't, because he didn't go Super Saiyan 3 when he was fighting Beerus. So. Yeah. But,
did he ever go 3 in Z?
No.
Not in Z, no.
Just Goku?
Just Goku.
Right now, Goku exclusive.
Yeah.
Weird.
And Gotenks, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Gotenks. Yeah.
But, meh. Anyways, yeah, so I love that there's different ways to go and that they're actually going to exploit that now. But that's what I expected in this episode. You know, at least a hint at it, because we had two times for Goku's Ultra Instinct to... But no, we just got, you know.
No, we just got Vegeta.
Kicking him in the stomach.
Vegeta. Wait, why is it Vegeta? Vegito? Why is it Vegito?
Because they said nah.
Because who cares?
Or Gogeta.
It was... Shh. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very looking forward to the remaining episodes.
And they've... In the way they've... divided the characters now. I think that's really fitting. Like, Frieza against the other Beerus, who's... I mean, he's got tricks, I guess.
Other Beerus.
They should be able to take him. Toppo versus Gohan in 17. 17 and Gohan should be able to take him, but I don't know. Because we still haven't really seen Toppo at his finest yet, I think. And then Goku and Vegeta versus the unbeatable Jiren, who now seems to have a crack. You know? Like, right. these are really good fights. I'm really happy how they've divided these up.
And I want to see Angry Frieza. That's going to be so fun. Besides Vegeta's transformation, that's the second thing I'm looking forward to. Angry Frieza. He made me look silly. I'll make you look dead. Let's see. That's about all I can think of in terms of things to cover.
Has anyone gotten outed for killing a person?
No.
No. No one's killed anyone yet.
Okay. Then I can see Frieza doing that.
Just in a bout of rage?
Yeah.
Sure. It should have happened with Jiren. Hit should have killed him. They really should have.
Yeah.
I was so sure. Anyway. But we get to see this fight now, and that's a good thing.
This is one of, like, the most hopeless scenarios since Frieza.
Yeah.
In terms of Jiren. You know one of the things I like about Jiren, most people are saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying it's a good thing, is that out of all the main baddies, we always have a reason of why they're so strong. With Jiren, it's just, we don't know why he's so strong. It's like, it makes no sense. Yeah. Frieza is just a one in a billion genius who is up and above beyond anything anyone's ever seen. Yeah, Cell
but,
has
but,
got...
But that was kind of like a retcon. Like a, what, 15 year later retcon? But at the time you had it like as, you know, he's the king of the
king
galaxy
of the universe,
or whatever, you know.
It's like, okay, he's the king of the universe. Cell, he's got all of the cells of all the greatest fighters. He was biomechanically engineered to be that strong.
Yeah.
Same with the androids. Boo, you know, he is an out-of-this-world magical creature specifically designed to be so terrifying. So we know why he is on that level. Beerus, he's a fucking god. Zamasu and Goku Black, more gods. Oh, when you the Universe 6 are hit, a thousand-year-old person who can stop time. So we understand why he's able to do his stuff. Why he is a threat. Jiren, he's just Jiren. We don't know why he's so scary. He's just... he's frightening. We have not even seen him at full power yet.
Yeah, that is one thing that I forgot to mention. There was one of the first sequence of battle between Jiren and Vegeta, where Vegeta seemed like he was fighting him on par. He goes, "You are faster and stronger when you're fighting Goku," and then Jiren just bitch slaps him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a lot. We don't even know if we've seen, like, 20% of Jiren's power, or 50%, or 70%. We just know we haven't seen it all. And he can fight convincingly at any of those levels.
So I think that just about covers all of this for the second infusion. Tune in next week for whatever news comes up. And we're also going to be talking about
intros, outros.
And we'll be trying. Which one should we try? Ravenclaw Riddle, which is the, we'll find out next week.
Bum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, bum, 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 bum.